Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests will appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So here's the deal today. I don't have anything planned, per se, okay? Normally, I come into these shows, and I'm very well prepared down to the second of what we want to talk about. Not to say that we don't get loose and move things around and do stuff, but I have a very specific outline on how I want to do the show, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But today, the outline is very simple. It's we're going to have a conversation, and it's going to be you. It's going to be me. It's going to be Greg. It's going to be Laura. We're going to have a few guests. Herm Edwards is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. David Fizdale, an LA guy, coached in the NBA, is on a newly formed committee by the NBA about racial injustice and reform, and he's going to join us. Amin's going to stop by. And look, we're going to have a conversation, and sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. And sometimes we're going to try to lighten up the mood by, you know, listening to stuff that we can discuss that may still keep us focused on the task at hand or the subject matter, but we'll present it in a more unique, perhaps lighter fashion just to kind of ease the tension a little bit. And again, I don't want to ease the tension to the extent where we forget about this or dismiss it. So please don't take that the wrong way. But let me just explain to you what my feelings are today. And it's really hard to just kind of put it all into words, but I think that the best way to describe what I've witnessed over the last, you know, 5 or 6 nights, and particularly over the weekend, is twofold. One, it's a sense of sadness because this continues to happen in this country. But on the other side, I think a sense of pride in this sense is that when you watch the protests in this city, or just outside this city, like Long Beach yesterday, or across America, really, regardless of what city, big, small, in between, what you're seeing is a more unified front than maybe we've ever seen before. Not maybe, actually, more than we've ever seen before. And I think it's important not only for our growth as human beings individually, but as our growth as a society. We cannot treat people like they are not equal to each other. We can no longer make people feel like second-class citizens. It's just not fair by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care where you were brought up, how you were brought up. There's no way anyone listening right now, deep down in their soul and their heart, can tell me that you were born by thinking someone else was inferior to you in any way, shape, or form. Whether that person was black, brown, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, etc. There's no way. There's no way you were born that way. That is, to me, something that is learned. And it starts in the household. And I hope it ends. I understand it was deeply ingrained in this country. I mean, look, the country has a history of 244 years of independence, but it's got a history beyond that too. And within those 244 years and beyond, it's not always pretty. But what we've done in the past is we've pushed things aside. We've said to ourselves, nah, we can move on. Things are okay now. And they're never really okay. We never really address the issue. It's no different than a marriage inside a household that you know is falling apart. But you get married, even though you may have a rocky relationship, and things are good for a while because you're on your honeymoon and you move on and you got your everyday life and you're working. And then you hit a rough patch. And the fighting escalates. And then the venom escalates. And then things subside for a while. Maybe you have kids because you figure, oh, kids, you know, that'll bring us closer together. And that usually is never the case. And that's kind of our relationship with race in this country. Is for a while, depending on the circumstance, we'll unite, we'll come together, we'll talk big about the changes we're going to make, and then we don't really make substantial change. Maybe individuals do. Maybe generations become slightly closer than previous generations. But until we have real change, and I'm talking about real reform at the government level, federally, regionally, and locally. And the only way that happens is if you, yes, I'm talking to you, whether you're black, Hispanic, Asian, white, Pacific Islander, whatever your background is, none of this changes until we make it change. I know that sounds simple, but as I've said before, we've been to this place before. We've been in this situation before. And yes, this feels different for the reasons I mentioned, because you see a vast different outlook at these protests as far as people's backgrounds, people's color, people's ethnicities, people's languages. However, that's just the first step. The next step needs to be real change. And what does that entail? That entails you, first of all, registering to vote. And it's not just about who's at the federal level. It's about who's at the local level, who you're voting in to be your county sheriff, who you're voting in to be your mayor, your council people, all that stuff. That stuff matters. And I understand that some of this is uncomfortable for people, and that's fine. You got to look outside your comfort zone in order to grow. We're never going to have real change unless we're willing to do that. And you can listen to me now, and you can chew me away, and you can turn off the radio, but this will continue to be the case if we don't do this together as a community, in each and every community in this damn country. America has real potential. We've yet to truly see the potential of this country. We've seen glimpses of it, but we've never seen everyone pulling on the rope in the same direction in this tug of war of life. We all need to be on one side. Life is already hard enough, man. Why do we got to make it even more challenging for other sets of people? I will never understand that. And I know what some of you are thinking out there, because I've had these conversations with people in my life, and they've been hard conversations, because you find out what people are made of. And the majority of the people I surround myself, I feel like, are genuinely good people who care, who watch this and had similar reactions to me. I'm going to be honest. I was sitting there at times crying this weekend watching this. For multiple reasons. Because of the sadness of what a particular community has had to deal with. But also because I see people of different backgrounds coming together to try to help this particular group of people. How can we help? You're seeing it. 99% of these protests were peaceful, whether it was here in Los Angeles or the outside cities like Long Beach, etc. And yes, there are a small percentage of people, whether they're coming in as agitators from within the community or agitators from beyond the community, to create that agitation. However, let's not just dismiss that all the rioting, and there's a difference between protesting and rioting. Let's not just dismiss that the rioting are people who are not in these specific communities. Because the people in these specific communities are fed up. And they should be. And I'm not condoning the behavior, but I am explaining the behavior. To quote Martin Luther King Jr. And by the way, I saw Martin Luther King III say this exact same thing over the weekend. Riots are the language of the unheard. Do you understand what it takes? What kind of desperation one must have? Like, let's do it this way. Think about it for 1 second. If you're not African American, if you're not a minority, think about the type of desperation one has to riot in their own communities, to riot in the communities of the people they share it with. Think about the type of desperation one must have when things continually happen over and over and over and over again. And that, to me, at the very basic level, needs to be our starting point. Understand, empathize, educate yourself on the plight of people who don't look and sound and talk and feel like you. Listen, I'm not the most religious person in the world, but I am a man of faith. I think there's a distinction there. And on a very basic level there, you are taught to love one another. You are taught to try to understand, to try to reconcile even if there are differences. And I think that is what we need to do now. But again, none of this change happens if we don't try to unify. And I'm telling you right now, if you're Latino listening to me right now, if you are white, if you are Asian, Pacific Islander, we need to help our black brothers and sisters. We do. Our voices all matter as a collective. Together, we can be what this country is supposed to be, a melting pot of people coming together to show how great a community can really be. That's what this country is supposed to be founded on. Supposed to be. But it isn't. Not for some. And I think we need to help make that change. It's that simple. So Greg and Laura, before we get to Herm Edwards, who's going to join us here in a little bit. How did you view what was transpiring in this particular community over the weekend?
It was very difficult, and I spent most of my weekend on Twitter and watching all the videos and watching all everything that was happening, and I was at a loss for words, not really sure what to say, what to do. I donated, tried to do as much as I could in that sense. What I had the most difficult time was I have 2 8-year-old daughters, and I tried to sit them down and explain to them what's happening around the country right now and what's happening. And it was very difficult to try and get them to really understand because they're still so young that they don't really want to understand. How did you do it with your kids? They're
so
younger.
I mean, look, I have one who's 6 and one who's 1.5 year old. He can't even talk.
No.
So there's not really an explanation there. But with the 6-year-old, it's funny you bring that up. The conversation I had with her was, she's occasionally will stare up at the screen. And she didn't really ask any questions in that regard. So when I was putting her to bed, I just explained to her, I said, hey, look, I just want you to know that. And I said, you do a really good job of this anyway, but I just want you to know that, you need to love everyone. Okay. That you need to love people regardless of what they look like, big, tall, small, skin color, heavy, skinny, whatever. Like, you just need to love people. Like, you need to be nice to everyone. And she looked at me kind of confused, and she kind of tilted her head like kids do. Because, kids are real straight with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't mess around. She's like, Daddy, of course. Why would I ever be mean to someone? Why wouldn't I love everyone? And I just said, you're right. you're right. And I'm thinking about it now and I got teary eyed. I certainly was starting to cry then just thinking about it. But that innocence is what we need to continue to kind of move forward with here. You know what I'm saying? And like, and it does start at the home. And so it kind of made me feel a little better about the way we raise our kids, that was the response. But that's it. Like, that's the conversation. I think for kids that little, you have to make it that simple.
Right. And I think that for them, I mean, what did we learn the golden rule in? Was it kindergarten, first grade? I don't think it matters. It was, but like, that was, treat others how you want to be treated is what Correct. Is brought to you from the moment you start school. And that's how it should be.
Yeah. Laura, where were you on all of this weekend as you were just kind of watching things unfold? I know that, you know, you were even at the office, I believe, right before the protest began downtown. So what was this weekend like for you?
Honestly, it was really tough. It was extremely hard. I did a lot of introspection with myself, a lot of talking to my mom, because I think as Latinos, we tend to forget that we can also, you know, aid the situation, not in a good way. So just having her understand things, and I grew up in a household that's very open-minded, so I'm very blessed in that sense. But just having to just explain things to her and to my sisters, and I have my cousins, you know, have black sons. So them talking to me and saying, my son's right now protesting and I'm scared. So it was just really tough. It was, it's hard to even explain certain things sometimes because you don't want to say the wrong thing, or it's just tough. And just like Greg, I donated. I couldn't be out protesting because my dad had surgery. So due to that, I have to be very careful where I'm at due to COVID, because we're still dealing with that. And, you know, just being an ally to everybody. And right. just understanding that you have a voice and you can use it. So use it in a positive way. And also be mindful of what you're sharing on social media, because
it's a great point.
Everyone is seeing the riots, right? Everyone is seeing the chaos on media. And we work in media, so I'm not trying to bash that. But there's so many protests that were peaceful that you didn't see. So that's what I try to show, too. It's you can see that in TV and other places, and it's happening, but I'm choosing to show positivity also on social media.
Well said, both of you. All right, let's take a break. We're going to be back in less than 3 minutes. And Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State, is a longtime friend of mine, worked with him in Bristol for a long time. There's probably not anyone better to have this conversation with than Herm. So we're going to talk to Herm in less than 3 minutes. Stick around with us, please. We're going to open up the phones throughout the show as well. David Fizdale at 11:15, Amin at 11:40, Sedano, 710 ESPN. Back here on 710 ESPN, Sedano with you here. Herm Edwards going to join us in a second. So, Laura, let me know when he's there. This is all presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, make sure you check out what they're doing on YouTube at youtube.com/progressive. Herm Edwards will join us in a moment. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. There are some things that also are being... I know there are things happening in sports today, and it's not that we will ignore them completely. We will talk about them when they arrive on our doorstep, including some stuff about USC that we'll get to here in just a little bit. I know that Mike Bone tweeted some stuff because of a booster who had said some inappropriate stuff, I guess, on social media or something to that effect, and he has addressed that. I know that he tweeted about it just a few moments ago, but I'd like to talk to my friend Herm Edwards here. He's the head coach of Arizona State. Worked with him for a long time here at ESPN. And again, no better person, I think, to have this conversation with that we're having this morning. A very tough and difficult conversation. Herm, thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you and your family and everyone is safe from everything that we're dealing with, the pandemic, and obviously the challenges here societally right now. But what were your thoughts as you kind of watched everything unfold here over the last week or so?
Well, it reminded me a lot of back in the 60s. I was 14 years old when Martin Luther King was assassinated back in 68. And I can remember the protests and the things of this nature that were happening in our country, being a young being a young black kid, you know, and looking at my parents trying to figure out what is all this, right? And, you know, I think when you think about our country, it's kind of ironic because Lady Justice is blindfolded. And when you think about that, she's basically blindfolded for a couple of reasons, that she shouldn't be able to see a person's identity, the beauty, the wealth, the power, or the race. And I think right now in America, for a lot of people of color, they feel like this justice system is not equal. It's not balanced. And they're tired. They're tired of what has taken place. By a few officers that have no right to be officers when they take things into their own hand and the situation becomes the death of a person. You know, now, I do say this, you know, protest is fine, but the looting and the violence of it, all you do then is hijack, you really hijack the message. And so now we're in this conflict of why are they doing this? A lot of those young people would probably say because you don't hear us, and it takes this for you to hear what we're saying. And so as we deal with this, I just think we have to look at it from all walks of life, you know, that there's always a few people, and no matter what occupation they're in, they're not suited to do that. And I think when you see that and you're involved in it, you're in a leadership position, no different than coaching. You know, we always say, you know, coaching is real simple. Do you allow things to happen? And if you do, that's on you. That's on you. That comes from leadership. And when you see this happening, and sometimes it's not, you know, on camera, but see, now in today's world we live in, now everything's on camera. There's always been racism. We know that. We don't live in a perfect world, but it's been hidden. But now it's on camera, and you see it. You see events like this. You see a situation that's sparked by a man that is supposed to be protect and serve, and he was not in confrontation, but was in a situation where, okay, let's, you know, find a way to get the guy in the car, but they took it one step further. And I think America is watching this, and if you're people of color, you've seen this story too many times. And now they're tired, and they're angry. But I do think protest is fine, but when they step over the line and it becomes violent and becomes looting, that's not protest. That's a whole different thing they're doing. And now you're diluting the message of what you're really protesting about.
Herm Edwards joining us here, head coach of Arizona State, here on the Sedano Show. Herm, I was just having this conversation with Key a few minutes ago on the air, and, you know, as we were crossing over our shows, and he brought up a great point, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. 99% of these protests have been peaceful and have been done the way that you illustrated. And the other part of it that I think is fascinating is, unlike maybe in the past, the groups that are protesting are not just African Americans. It's white people. It's Hispanic people. It's Asian people. It's people of all different backgrounds and nationalities and ethnicities. How does that make you feel as someone who's seen many of the injustices of the past and the way those were protested?
Well, I think it's the new generation of kids, of young people, that their parents were part of the 68 movement, right? They were part of that movement, and they've grown up, and they've seen it, and now they're in a movement where they're going, look, we got to do something about this, and we want to protest because this is not right. You know, this is America, and we're better than this, and we are better than this. But I just think at this point now, you know, there's this country has always had protests, right? I mean, it's the history of America. There's always been a protest of some sort. And now we're in the crossroads right now, in my opinion, because, as you said, you know, these young people, I got two daughters, 14 and 13. I mean, that's the conversation I'm having with my little girls at dinner. But you know, why are they doing this, Daddy? You know, they're trying to figure it out. You know, so I think America now, as we have time because of the coronavirus, you know, supposed to be not social distancing, and obviously these protests have nothing to do with social distancing. But we have a lot of time on our hand, and I think this is another subject at the supper table as Americans we can talk about and talk about it openly.
Herm, how do we make that change? How do we create the change that's necessary that hasn't been done in the past?
Well, I think it starts with your local leaders, the mayors and the governors of certain states, and the police department and the officials coming together with community leaders and having this conversation. You know, I've always said this, maybe the greatest thing about sports, especially football, you get in the huddle. And you think about a huddle in football, all different walks of life walk into that huddle with different backgrounds, different religious beliefs, different political beliefs. It really doesn't matter. But when you come in a huddle, you agree on one thing. We all have to be successful. How do we do this? How do we make this work? And how do we put all these differences we may have aside? There's this common respect for everyone. And I think we don't huddle anymore in America. We just don't. We don't huddle with enough people that we maybe not comfortable with because we don't want to have the conversation. You know, some of these conversations are they're not comfortable. We have to get in conversations that are not comfortable anymore, where you can see the other person's view of it. And once you do that, that's how you progress.
Herm Edwards joining us here on the Sedano Show here on ESPN LA. Well said, Herman. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think that it's important for people not only to make that change on a local level, but even the first step beyond that, Herm, which is register to vote. If you look at the numbers, there's not enough people registered to vote.
well, that's a whole different story, you know. But no, you're right. I mean, it's amazing. You know, things like this, they've been building up. This is not just it's been simmering, okay. And finally, the kettle got hot. And it just started, it blew off, you know, and I just think with the virus, with people being unemployed, us being in lockdown as a country, all these things are occurring, and then all of a sudden this happens, and here we go.
Herm, what have the conversations been like? You mentioned the conversations at the dinner table with your young daughters, but what have they been like with your team?
Well, I sent a text out because I'm in California right now. All the coaches are out of the building, and the players are spread out all over the place too. We're actually going to start back working out on the 15th of next month, and it just sent them a note about what was happening. And I think the thing for me is when we get back, I'm going to find a way to address it because I just feel that is my obligation as a coach. Because they're living in a time now where the country is no different than 68. I mean, the civil rights movement was powerful, man. I was involved in that. I was a young kid growing up. You know, I got bused out of the neighborhood to a predominantly white high school. I was involved in all that, man. I was on the Berkeley campus as a freshman in 1972. Can you imagine what that place was in 1972?
Mm-hmm.
With all the social unrest, the Vietnam deal was hitting. I mean, it was a mess. And I just kind of walk, I reflect on that and walk my life through that and going, I remember how that looked. And now it's 2020. And I'm going, this still shouldn't be happening.
You're 100% right, Herm. It really shouldn't be happening. And it is wild that this continues to be the case. And again, I hope that people heed your advice and many people's advice of just, you know, figuring this stuff out, coming together. Understanding that this isn't a political issue, Herm. This is a humanity issue.
Yes, yes. And this is just people that have a position of a power position in society, whether you're a police officer, whoever you may be, that you have to realize, you know, this is not like, you know, in a football game, it's kind of ironic because when you get emotional and you jump off sides, and you get a pass interference, you know, okay, you get penalized. In the working field of a police officer, when your emotions get the best of you, it could turn out really bad. It could turn out really bad. And then that reflects all of a sudden your whole department, and that's not the truth, because that's not the whole department. But the problem is, when you have people like that in your department, they don't belong there. They don't belong there. That's how it works. They don't belong there. They don't.
You're right, because, you know, the conversation of bad apples, Herm, and Herm Edwards joining us here, head coach of Arizona State on the Sedano Show. You know, there are certain jobs that can't afford bad apples, right? And that's one of them. You know, you can't afford a bad apple when you're flying on a plane. You know what I'm saying? You can't afford a bad apple when you're going into surgery. And there are just certain jobs that can't afford that.
I tell the players this all the time, you know, and I learned this. Your last name is your most powerful possession. It's the most powerful possession your parents give you, your last name. That your last name is tied into your occupation, and they go hand in hand for the rest of your life, no matter what you do. And when you do something out of line, it reflects your name, but it reflects your occupation as well. And that's what people see. And then they throw everybody in there. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're right. That is the problem. Herm, before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the potential. You mentioned the coronavirus numerous times. What are you hearing as far as your school and the Pac-12 in general and college football and the potential of it in the fall?
Well, right now we're headed to try to have a season, and I think we're going step by step in increments. On the 15th, actually, of next month of June, you know, this month, we actually are going to start bringing some players in slowly. Not the whole team. We're kind of bringing them in groups, and you know, there's going to be testing involved in the whole deal. You know, temperature checks for everyone coming in the building. We're taking it one step at a time. So we're there right now. Then eventually try to start participating in practices and meetings, and that's going to be different. You know, all of a sudden, how do you meet with 110 players? Well, you probably don't. You probably can't have them in the same room unless you go in the stadium and have a team meeting, right? So all those things are under review of how you do things, right? And it's not going to be normal. I mean, players and coaches will have to walk in the buildings with masks on, rightly so. You know, because there's a lot of things that are happening. You know, how do you deal with the locker room? All these things that are set up and the safety first for players as well as coaches and staff.
Herm Edwards, a great man, head coach of Arizona State. I love that I can call you a friend, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time. Stay safe. Stay healthy. We'll talk soon, okay?
You do as well, my friend. Nice talking to you, man.
Same here. Take care. There he is. Herm Edwards with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. He's so good. So good. I mean, Greg, who's better than him? You know what I mean? Like, he's the if he is the best of us as a society, you know?
He just gets it. He's everything that he says is just very poignant and well-spoken. I don't know. I'm not going to name a name.
I mean, he is the best of us. Like, he really is the best of us in every way, shape, or form. All right. We're going to take a quick break. I want to open things up for you guys on the phones. I want to talk to the community. I want to talk to people from all sorts of different backgrounds about what's transpiring, how you feel about what's happening. Let's open it up. Let's have the conversation. We're going to open up the phones right now. 877-710-ESPN. We don't have another guest till 11 o'clock. 877-710-3776. Let's talk about it. You, us, let's do it as a community. Sedano, 710-ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710-ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line, like Herm Edwards, who joined us there. God, I love him, man. Love that dude. David Fizdale, another dude I love. LA kid, going to join us at 11. He had to move up his interview from 11:15 to 11, so we're going to have him on at 11. So we'll talk to him. You know, he grew up in this community, and he is now part of a committee that the NBA has created on racial justice and reform. And that committee includes David Fizdale. It includes Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich. It includes a number of different head coaches in the NBA. I wanted to get the names here. Lloyd Pierce of the Atlanta Hawks, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, David Fizdale, and Stan Van Gundy. Who, look, I don't know Lloyd very well. I know David Fizdale very well. I know Steve. I know Pop. And clearly, I know Stan very well. And you're talking about a group there that is very, very socially conscious of what this country needs to be, what this country should be, and how we move forward as a country, and are not afraid to say it. So we'll talk to David about how that committee came together. Let's go to the phones, though. I want to talk to people. I want to talk to you. We want to talk about what's happened in the community. We are going to talk some sports. There are things that are going to happen that we're going to discuss. We're not going to just not discuss sports at some point today. We are. You know, I asked Herm about what's going to happen with the Pac-12 and Arizona State, and you heard him say it, and there are some challenges there, right, about how they get football going when you got 100 kids in a room, you know what I mean, and how you're going to try to conduct meetings and how you're going to try to conduct practices and things of that nature. It's not easy considering we're still also dealing with a pandemic. But let's go to the phones. Lando is in Whittier. Lando, good morning, man.
Good morning, brother. From one Cuban to another, man, great morning.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, brother, regarding what you said, we understand, us being Cuban, that we know what oppression is. We know what it's like to where we can't go on the streets and say anything because the government will put us in prison for 3 to 5 years. We understand everything that's going on right now. My thing is this. The protesting is great. We have a right to stand up as Americans. My issue is this. Once you break into a store, you're stealing from folks that have businesses that have nothing. They haven't done anything to anyone. They work all their lives to have their small business or whatever. So now these people are looking for an excuse to go in and break and take what is not theirs. What if the owners of these buildings turn around and says, you know what? I'm not having it. I'm myself going to respond to this. You walk into my place and I'm going to defend what's mine. Now we're going to have a different issue with the people.
Yeah, no, Lando, that I understand that, and I appreciate the call, and thank you, and stay safe and stay healthy. What I would say is this, and I don't condone the behavior, but I understand it. And, you know, you yourself, as you talked about, you know, you grew up in oppression, or your family grew up in oppression, like mine did. And I understand that, and you understand that. And sometimes there is no other resolution. And I think that, at least from what I've seen here locally and in other places too, is I've seen stuff that's been put up after the fact when businesses have boarded up and have literally said, I forgive you. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. And I think that the community understands. I do think that there's also been instances, I've seen this as well on the news, where owners of stores, particularly mom and pop stores, have stood out in front to protect their businesses, and the protesters have just kept it moving and have not done anything to those businesses. I understand that there are instances where that hasn't been the case. I get that. And yes, I understand that it is counterproductive in that sense. But think about the desperation one must have to feel that that is the resolution that's necessary. And I think that's kind of where we have to be right now a little bit and understand that as well. But I do think that you bring up a valid point. We don't want this to escalate further if there becomes violence just on people protecting their own property. And I think that hopefully there is a peaceful resolution to this moving forward where we can all kind of understand that justice is going to be served and that there's real change on the horizon. I think when that happens, and hopefully we can get to that with our community leaders, locally, nationally, sooner rather than later, so that people understand, hey, your voices have been heard. Kevin in North Hills. Kevin, good morning.
Oh, yeah. This is very touching to me because in 92, out of the National Guard, so I... And I'm of color, black. So it's very touchy to me. But it's nice, for one thing, as far as Congress representing us, as far as the veterans, it kind of makes me mad because we fight for equality. And we got people, like in the government, saying, Colin Kaepernick was kneeling down it was disrespecting us, which was totally the opposite. Most of my friends or fellow veterans, we fight for equality. My friends have died for this. And they go to other countries, and they treat us better than this country. Okay. And it's just nice to see people. See, and then when I was out there in the National Guard in 92, a lot of the people that were rioting weren't even from the community. And then the media, instead of just like, you have like three different views. You have the truth. You have there, you know, they might just want to get hits, you know, like they call it clickbait or whatever. But the truth is important. The truth is that what Colin Kaepernick was doing, they railroaded and tried to say it was something else, and it was for equality. And also, we just got to understand people, man. We're human beings. Humanity needs to understand that we're human beings. And if, just like as I play football, and we have, it's important that you strategize. If you strategize, come up with a play. Everybody's important. The line's important. If the line, I play running back. If the line don't block for me, I'm not going to get any yards. So all of us got a role to play, you know, in our community. The government says it's important that we vote, but it's important that our government too. Maybe we can get a couple of friends, you know, in the government, in our community, and say this ain't right, and just go around the community and say maybe get something started with the police. And then we have like, we can talk among each other, you know, and understand each other and humanize each other. We're not animals, man. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Kevin, love you, brother. Be safe.
Okay.
Well said. I mean, I can't add anything to that. I mean, you listen to that man's pain. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. Like, that is someone in your community right there. Think about that for 1 second. How emotional that man is. And that's why, as a community, regardless of who you are, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander, whatever, we all got to come together for that. And he's right. In other countries, they're looking at us right now and going, whoa, this season of America is wild. And it doesn't need to be like that. And, you know, the interesting stuff he brought up about Colin Kaepernick, I want to get to that on the other side. We're going to do that for a second because I know that sometimes people have been made uneasy by this and, you know, in general, but by him particularly. And there needs to be something expressed here about him specifically that I don't think enough people are talking about. So we'll do that. We're going to take more of your calls. We don't have another guest till 11 o'clock when David Fizdale, LA kid, NBA coach, is going to join us. We'll take your calls. We'll be back in less than 2 minutes. Sit down with you here on 710 ESPN. Presented by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils. Made from natural gas. Gives you the unbeatable engine protection you need. The proof is in the Pennzoil. So, Herm Edwards, thanks to him for joining us earlier. If you missed that, please subscribe to the podcast. I think there's no way you're not going to want to listen to what he had to say. He's always incredible, but he was even more incredible just now, a little while ago with us. And thank you for the callers that have called in. Lando, Kevin, specifically in North Hills, thank you so much for calling in. Real quick, I mentioned earlier that Mike Bone, the USC AD, put out a tweet about a USC booster who said some racist things. Apparently, I don't have the entirety of it, but there is a USC booster, a woman, older woman, and she tweeted out that you should shoot the protesters. And she doubled down and says they need to be shot. And she's also an LAPD union attorney. And I think that that's the type of stuff that we have a problem with here in this country. Right? Is that the people, and again, I'm not trying to blame law enforcement. I have family in law enforcement. Okay? You know, you heard the gentleman now who just called, Kevin in North Hills. You know, he's part of law enforcement, right? He's part of the National Guard and was part of the National Guard serving in the 92 riots. But sometimes the leadership and the lobbying of these unions are the issues. And LZ actually wrote a column this weekend on CNN.com and talked about some of the issues there are there. And there are a number of them in this particular community about the people running the unions who then compromise some of the forces, right? And the people leading the forces in law enforcement. And I think that this is just another example that illustrates that. And good on Mike Bone and USC for immediately saying that that's not what they believe in. And I think that this is what needs to happen, is that you need to condemn this stuff right away. Like, you can't sit on your behind and let this stuff happen. So here's what Mike Bone put out there as far as a statement. Last night, we're made aware of an abhorrent and blatantly racist tweet from an individual who identified as a USC football booster. Following an immediate investigation into the matter, we informed the individual that their season ticket and Trojan Athletic Fund membership privileges have been revoked and their payments will be promptly returned. Their account has been flagged in our system to prevent future purchases. Thank you to the USC community for helping us identify this individual so that we could move swiftly to terminate our relationship. We stand in solidarity with the black community. USC Athletic Director Mike Bone. It's good. That's what needs to happen right away, every single time. And, you know, there's a lot of people in this community stepping up. I saw Kareem write a column for the LA Times, which is incredible. And look, Kareem, much like Herm, who was on with us earlier, Kareem even to a much bigger level, on a much bigger scale than even Herm, as someone who Herm lived through it. But Kareem fought for it in front of cameras. And I think that if you haven't had a chance to read his op-ed in the LA Times, you should. And as far as Colin Kaepernick is concerned, you know, people forget, you know, as they talk about why aren't these protests, why aren't some of them peaceful? Well, I think that a lot of the video sometimes catches that the aggressors are not always the protesters. Sometimes it's agitators who come from the outside who are there to stoke the flames of the issue. There are sometimes the agitation comes from an occasional overzealous police force in specific communities. And maybe not, I shouldn't generalize and say the force in general, but at least individuals. And then what happens is those other individuals are also left to deal with the situation as well. And all those are things that, and reasons why Colin Kaepernick was kneeling. And he was doing it peacefully. And people in our community, people across the country, people at the federal level were unhappy and bullied the NFL into doing something and blackballing him. And by the way, he chose that specific route of kneeling because of his former teammate, Nate Boyer, who is a U.S. Army Green Beret. Served 6 years and multiple tours for the Army in both Iraq and Afghanistan. And Boyer told him, that's how we honor the fallen in the military. Think about that for a second. And how that doesn't get discussed enough. It didn't then, and it sure as hell doesn't now. Let's go to the phones. Art is in Whittier. Art.
Hey, George, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, man.
Hey, you know what? I just want to say something about the, you know, the protesters. You know, I've been watching a lot of that coverage, and like you said, you know, a lot of the protesters are, you know, doing what they're doing, and they're speaking out, blah, blah. But, you know, like 1% of those people, the vermin, which I call, that come out whenever there's a catastrophe, you know, they just come out of the woodwork, and they create all this havoc and stuff. You know, it's just horrible. But, you know, another thing, too, about the, you know, as far as, like, the police, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of them, when they're trained, you know, they get certain training, you know, what to do in certain situations. But I think it's a mental, too, because I was in the Army, you know, and when they're training you in the Army, it's you against the enemy, plain and simple. And with them, you know, it's the crooks, criminals, whatever. They're the enemy, and it's ingrained into their mind that they're going to do whatever they have to do. And not only that, they're going to back up each other no matter what, you know, and they're not going to turn on each other. So I don't know why anybody would want to be a police officer, because if you don't back up somebody who's doing something wrong, you know, you're going to be castrated or whatever. You know, they're going to throw you out, and there's no point. You know, they need to change that mentality when they're training, plain and simple.
But yeah, I agree. Thank you for the call. I think that that does need to change. And look, I think that I saw the interview yesterday of the chief of police in Minneapolis, who is a minority. And he was being interviewed by a CNN reporter, and the family of George Floyd was also live while watching this. And she was kind of the conduit, the reporter, back and forth, talking to the chief of police about what their pain is about, right? And communicating between the two. And I think that the one thing that really struck me was when the police chief in Minneapolis was told who was also on like the video screen that he couldn't see, he immediately took his hat off and out of respect and then addressed that, you know, he fired all four officers involved and that he felt that it was the right thing to do. And that, you know, the legal process will be up to the district attorney, and the district attorney that is working on this is the attorney general of the state now. It has been escalated to that point. So I think that, to your point though, Art, is that I believe that you're right. I think that there are a lot of cops listening right now who would agree with you. And I think that there's going to have to be a reckoning within the particular forces. And there's going to have to be a decision made, right? You can't just, and we've seen some of it a little bit here over the last couple of days where cops have done the wrong thing and another cop has pulled them off. And maybe it's the cameras and the focus on it right now. But at this point, I don't care. Like, we want people's lives to be saved, you know? And hopefully that's at least an impetus for doing the right thing. But you're right. Historically, that has been the case where they stand in solidarity. And I think that sometimes there's going to have to be, for this to work, there's going to have to be a reckoning on a lot of different levels. And that includes the police force. Because I think that there are a lot of great cops, and maybe there are only a few bad apples. But as I said earlier, there are certain jobs that can afford bad apples. Jose is in L.A. Jose.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to talk about, like, how, you know, overhearing a lot of people talk about, like, it's uncomfortable to talk about it. I think, like, most of the people that keep saying that are people that are on TV or, like, politicians, because they got to be very careful what they talk about.
Yeah.
So, you know, but in reality, everyone that lives is not uncomfortable to talk about it. It's not. And then, like, all them people that were, like, looting yesterday, if you look at every single, like, I was looking at so many different channels on social media and everything, they were all, like, 24 and under. And the bad part about this is that I'm Hispanic. A lot of them were Hispanics and Black. So, I mean, I don't know why people are so scared of just straight out saying it, like, most of them probably don't even have a job or nothing, and they were just there looting shoes. A lady was looting flowers. Were they looting? That has not. I've been in a lot of marches for different things and for different places, not just for me, but for other people. And when we see stuff like that happen, we grab them bad people and tell them calm down or something like that. But you don't have to be like the smartest person to know that the people that were looting weren't from the march. But,
no, yeah, absolutely, Jose, you're right. They're people who just come in and take advantage of the situation, you know?
And the thing is, that this is where now, like, if you were to actually, like, you're a radio host, so you got to be careful what you say and all that, because then people are going to start complaining and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, if you go outside and ask, like, 100 people, what was the name of that, the person that the cop put their leg on, they probably won't even know. But they, because they're so busy now everyone's forgot about them. A lot of people forgot about them because they're all thinking now, everything you hear now is about the riot, looking, riot. Looting.
Yeah, the message has been clouded, and that's what kind of Herm was alluding to a little bit. Jose, and thank you for the call, and stay safe and be healthy. And you're right, but that shouldn't take the focus off the 99% of people who are protesting properly and for valid reasons. You know what I mean? Like, and I do think there are people that come in and just take advantage of the situation. Hootie's in Inglewood. Hootie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, George. I come from a family of 10. Of those 10, 8 of us are real chill, real laid back, don't want problems. 2 of us are on edge all the time. Now, if I want to go to a restaurant and I want to make sure I get a good table, sometimes we need those 2. The sad part is I got to take those 2 siblings. Now, most of the time, we don't even tell those 2 siblings that we're going out to dinner because we don't want no problems. But sometimes we invite them because we like, hey, we kind of need them to make sure we going to get what we came for. And they're not going to hear us unless we say it a certain way. I am not condoning tearing up a shop. I'm just saying it ain't going to be me. But there's a couple that's always in that crowd that's willing to go to the extra to make sure that you heard what they said. And it's sad that I think you almost to an extent kind of need that. Otherwise, we can sit here and march from today to next month. I don't think they're going to hear us. They haven't heard us. 30 years, then another 30 years, then another 30 years. And they only change what they have to change. I was at work fully clothed as a railroader with fluorescent stuff on and still got stopped. And it still took them 15 minutes to let me go back to work when they had every reason with work glasses, work boots, with my vest on to just ask me, hey, what are you doing over here? Okay, we just want you got your Twit card? Got it. All right, brother, go back to work. It took them 15 minutes to let me go. And it's embarrassing. It's on camera. My coworkers, people are passing by and seeing me while I'm on duty trying to move trains. That's all I want to do is work.
I know, man. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that it has to be that way. I really am. And I'm hoping that, you know, as you said, I know it's been like that for a long, long time. This isn't new. And I appreciate the call.
Fed up, George.
I feel you.
Guns in my face.
I feel you.
Guns in my face. I've never committed a crime, George. Not one that I went to jail for.
I feel
you. Never been arrested. Went to college. Did everything I was supposed to do. And me and my dad are sitting at a red light. They didn't ask us for nothing. They pulled the doors open and guns are in our face. You know how many black and brown men got stories like that? And my coworkers have no idea what it really means.
Yeah,
me and my brother were running out of the house that we grew up in. We got stopped because the officer happened to be there and thought we were, like, something happened. And we're trying to tell him we grew up in this house. But we were 2 grown men. We said, whoever gets to the car first don't have to drive. We race out the door, and we get stopped for running out of the house that we grew up in.
I'm sorry, Hootie.
It's my life, and I'm finally fed up. I don't want to see looting. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But you come to a point where people are fed up. So we need those 2 siblings to say, hey, no, for real, this is not going to happen no more.
Hootie, thank you for the call, man. Stay safe, stay healthy, okay? Take care. I'm sorry. But that, and for those of you listening, I hope you listen. Because that is, there, people have different versions of America. And I think that it is important that we understand that that version exists. David Fizdale. LA kid, NBA head coach. He joins us in 90 seconds.